Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
John chapter 21, reading the first 14 verses. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I am going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the nets in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the nets full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals where there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. As Rich has said, I am the planting curate here at St. George's, and it's my privilege to be speaking to you this morning. So we join the disciples, and they meet Jesus for the third time after he has risen from the dead. So we're still in the Easter period, and we're remembering that Jesus has risen from the dead. And the disciples are fishing, and this is a job that they know well, and they actually clearly enjoy, that they were doing not just as a means of money, but a means of something they like doing. And they've been fishing overnight, which apparently is the best way to fish over the Sea of Galilee, but they've caught nothing. And Jesus is on the shore, and he calls out to them, "Have you caught anything?" And they're like, "No, nothing." Because of Jesus' instructions, we see the disciples manage to catch a massive haul of fish. Just like our children were directing each other and teaching each other how to catch the fish, so Jesus was helping the disciples catch the fish. And our writer John doesn't tell us this is a miracle. They're following his instructions, and this was quite common, that if you're by the Sea of Galilee, you can see the water's clear. And if you're on the shore, you can actually see schools of fish that the person on the boat can't see because they're kind of underneath or too close. So this is something that they would see, a common occurrence. But I think there's a lesson we can learn, that listening to Jesus and seeing the world through his perspective, he's got such a broad perspective, he knows everything that's happened, means that we can help him in his kingdom work that we are called to do. And Jesus called the disciples to be fishers of men, to spread the good news about who Jesus was. And we have that same calling. In the verses that follow, we see Jesus reconciles Peter to him, reminding his calling to build the church. And he also talks to John and tells him about how he's going to be a witness of all that he has seen. We have John's gospel and all the amazing things he did. And throughout Lent, we saw Jesus was sharing lots of meals. I know in the children's work and in our services, we were looking at meals that Jesus shared. And even in the resurrection, we see that Jesus obviously thinks this is an important thing to do, to love and to share food, to be a good, hospitable person. He's showing us what the church should look like, that we're called to be family, to be community, to break bread together, to care for each other. And Jesus has already caught some fish. He has everything we need. He has done the work, but actually he still calls us to partner with him. We see even since the Garden of Eden, he's called us to partner, to tend for his creation, to love, to co-labor with him. Now, as I said, we're in the season of Easter and we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And this is a story that we're hearing on the account of those who saw the risen Jesus, who ate with him, who were seeing that he was flesh and blood. They touched his skin. They saw that he had defeated death. And this is really important for us that we understand that Jesus is the resurrected, risen, victorious Christ. He was the perfect sacrifice. And Paul says, he reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So it's really important we understand that Jesus is the resurrected King. Many people who are not Christians, even people who belong to other faiths, believe Jesus was a good person. He was a good teacher, but they don't believe he was risen from the dead. They don't believe he was the Son of God. And this difference for us as Christians is Jesus and the early followers declare that Jesus was the Son of God, that he did raise from the dead. This is not an optional part of our faith, but something we need to build our faith upon. Jesus says in John 2, verse 19 to 21, "Destroy this temple in 3 days and I will rise it up." And he was talking about the fact that I might die, but I'm going to be the risen Christ. He declares this. And sometimes it can feel a bit confusing, can't it? We are in a world where it's not always clear what's real and what's not. We have AI, which I still don't quite understand what it is, but it's definitely confusing a lot of us. And we have lots of different tricks that make things look real that aren't. And we're going to look at some images, and you're going to help me decide if they're real or not. So, this first one, is that a real lemon? What do we think? If you think it's a real lemon, put your hand up. Oh, well, there you go. A lot of you have obviously watched Is It Cake? Is it cake? Let's have a look. Yeah, it's cake. I thought it was quite realistic. You lot weren't fooled. Right, okay, our next image. Let's have a look. Is that a real image? What do you think? If you think it's a real image, and you think it's actually true, put your hands up. Yeah, now this is confusing. Now I think I've still got my note that tells me why this has happened. Okay, so Mr. Brain says, "Superior mirages occur when the weather condition shows the temperature inversion and the cold air lies between the sea and the warmer above it." I don't really understand, but basically it bends the light, so in our eyes it looks like the ground and the coast are changing the distance between the objects. So that's a real photo, but obviously the boat isn't really flying, so it's, again, quite confusing. Our next image, right, this one, real photo, put your hand up, yeah, real photo, but the perspective is wrong, isn't it? We're seeing someone further away looking like they're close and small, but they're not. It's confusing. Is that my last one? Is there another one? Ah, right, okay. Is it a real image? We're all going fake, are we? Yeah? Is it cake? It's cake. Yeah, it's cake. Oh, you guys weren't fooled, were you? You knew that it could be cake. Okay, so it can be confusing, but we can be certain of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. In chapter 15, of in Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's first letter, he says that there are reasons we can believe that a resurrection is real. First, the first witnesses were women, which to us seems like that's a very feasible thing, but for women to be the witnesses of the resurrection, the first ones, at the time, wouldn't have been a very strong case. They weren't believed. And I think not only does this show us what Jesus thinks about women, that we are strong advocates, the first apostles, the first people sent to share the good news, but it shows that this wasn't something fabricated. This isn't the way you do it if you were going to do it at this time. Also, Jesus and his Jesus' disciples and other followers witnessed the risen Jesus many times. At one point, over 500 people saw him alive. And then Paul states that he himself witnessed the risen Jesus. I think our greatest truth to know that Jesus is real and that he rose from the dead is that we can personally know him for ourselves. If this isn't your experience, if you don't know the risen Jesus, I invite you to ask him into your life, to take that brave step, to have faith and to know him. And we have prayer ministry. It's a time where you can come and pray with someone, and that is open to all of us, not just the adults, but the children and young people. There will be people you can pray with. If you want to know who Jesus is, please come forward and be prayed for. And different people try to explain away the ways that Jesus might not have risen, that this is a lie. But we know that this cost the disciples everything. That they didn't just say it was true and then walk away. They lived out their faith day by day, experiencing great persecution. Many were beaten, were put in prison. Many died. And I don't think you die for a lie. If you know this isn't true, why would you do that? The power of those testimonies are so powerful because the lengths they went to say that Jesus was the risen God, that he had changed everything when he died and rose again. So in summary, our three things we're going to try and remember is that Jesus equips his church to build the kingdom. He also partners with us to bring this kingdom about. He gives us all we need and labors with us. And we can be confident in the gospel truth that he is the risen, victorious King. Jesus really did die. He really did rise from the dead. He ascended to heaven. Jesus is alive now, and we can have relationship with him. And we, like those early believers, are called to tell others so that they can experience his love, his grace, and his hope, because we have found our Saviour.
Thank you for listening to the St George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.